He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the pre-holiday edition. It is the November 22nd edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst, and with peanut oil at $48.50 for a three-gallon jug. That's what I saw at Walmart last night. Inflation wafts through the air. The NASDAQ's up 42 points right now to 14,237. A few important companies in the news today, big tech stocks. The NASDAQ giving up a little bit of the ghost here. It was up about 100 points. Now it's up just 41. The Dow's up 90 right now. It was up about 170. So, well, maybe the traders are headed to the Hamptons. The Dow is at 35,178. S&P up 10 to 45.48. Small caps having a good day. They've kind of joined in the party here recently. They've missed out on the party most of the year. Of course, they got clobbered last year. Small caps up 80 basis points today. Crude oil, here that OPEC meeting is canceled. What's going on there for 4 days? And oil is down $3.47 per gallon today. Or per barrel. Gold is at up 250 to 2004, and the 10-year continues to soften. We're down to a 4.38% right now. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. A lot of big stories, actually, today. Boots on the ground inflation report. I just saw it, you know, as I walked into the store, there was 3 gallon jugs of peanut oil, which is the preferred oil, I guess, for cooking a turkey. I don't fry turkeys. I just don't.
That peanut oil is durable. It's durable at a high heat. It holds a high heat for an extended period of time. So.
Can it be reused? Because it's $48.50 for a 3 gallon jug.
You can cook a couple of turkeys with one batch. You can filter it. But if you're gonna, you know, if you're gonna use it to fry some shrimp or fish, you better. That's probably the last time you use it after that.
Yeah. So. Yep. And $32 for our hen turkey. That I'll be mastering tomorrow behind the grill. So anyways, definitely inflation, 29% higher than 4 years ago, 3.5 years ago. I don't think prices are coming down anytime soon. Now, as far as the market goes, we had a very soft day in the market yesterday. The NASDAQ was down 84. It was awaiting NVIDIA's earnings report. NVIDIA's earnings report came out right after the close. It was a blockbuster report, but it was all about guidance going forward. We'll get into some details of that here in a little bit. The S&P broke its 5-day win streak. The Dow fell after the Fed minutes came out. I think the Fed minutes showed that, you know, they still have another rate hike, at least on the table. It's a card they can play if they need to. And the market has basically priced in no more rate hikes. But at the same time, you know, the Fed hasn't ruled out another one. Low volume day today. I am sure it's a huge travel day. You may be on your way to the airport. You may be in the plane now. You may be driving to your destination or, in our case, expecting people to arrive at our destination at some point. Initial jobless claims fall. Okay, we've had those numbers going up, and they fell to 209,000. That's below expectations. So that
pretty far below.
it continues to point to a strong jobs market. You know, we were expecting 225,000 people to get laid off. Instead, it was only 209. So 16,000 people are still happy not being laid off. But that just points, it's an inflation. It is part of the data that feeds into those Fed meetings that helps them make their decisions as far as inflation goes. Well, and then on the other side of the coin, durable goods orders fell more than expected. They tend to be pretty unpredictable, pretty choppy. But that's a point in favor of the dove saying, well, you know, we better not hike interest rates. Durable goods orders are falling.
So. Kind of still that Goldilocks kind of moment where, you know, one came in a little hot, right, and the other one came in a little cold. So.
And the market was initially really happy, and the market has given up quite a bit since the open here. Selling into this morning's rally so far. It may gather steam again. We'll see. I really don't know where we're at on this whole Sam Altman thing. He gets fired last Friday from OpenAI. He gets hired on Monday from Microsoft. And now he's going to return to OpenAI as the CEO with the new board of directors. So it sounds to me like he wins out no matter what happens. The board fired him. Well, now the board is fired and he's back.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's you know, these kind of things you really happen a lot of times with private companies, right? As startups are growing and you have different investors and different folks want to have a say and that type of thing. And sometimes, a lot of times, the founder eventually gets pushed out. It's just weird. It's a little odd that it's happening in a publicly traded company, right? And that Microsoft, of course, has a big investment.
Yeah. So I don't know where his role with Microsoft. They hired him, right?
Yeah. Well, and
where does that stand now? It doesn't really say here.
Well, and I think he's, you know, in reality, they've got a huge investment in the company. So in reality, whether he knows it or not, he works for Microsoft a bit already.
Yeah, pretty much. There's a lot of money that is invested, so they have a lot of say with OpenAI. So the new board will feature former Salesforce co-CEO Bret Taylor, and of course, Salesforce. Their CEO is known to have ties with the World Economic Forum, etc. The former Treasury Secretary Larry Summers, who was the Treasury Secretary under President Obama, and Quora's co-founder and CEO Adam D'Angelo. I don't know that much about him, but it sounds like Microsoft wants Sam. They want to work with Sam one way or another. And it seems like the board that fired him is going to end up being the ones that lose their jobs. So anyways, they're saying Microsoft has a Cinderella ending with Altman back at OpenAI. This is according to Wedbush. It's like, you know, everything, the best worked out for Microsoft. And Microsoft has been hitting new highs recently as they kind of lead. They have a leadership in that whole AI race, especially over Alphabet. Microsoft is up $2.70 today, 0.7%, and a recent new all-time high. Now, the minutes. Here's the part that I suppose spooked the market yesterday. All the Fed officials agreed that policy needs to stay restrictive for some time. So, you know, the people that are looking for dramatic rate cuts, that just doesn't sound like it's in the cards. And we have, a pretty well-known, I can't remember who it was now, one of those big firms saying, oh, we see massive rate cuts coming as the country goes into recession.
Yeah, and they were saying, what? I mean, that report you were talking about, I think late last week or early this week, was, I think they were talking about, for rate cuts like the second meeting of the year in 2024. So that'd be in February-ish.
Right.
So.
Now, On a local note, and it could have implications across the country. Who knows? Charleston, South Carolina, has its first Republican mayor in, I think, 100 years. Is that what I read? Something like that. And interestingly enough, we went out to dinner Monday night, and the mayor's son, he's quite a jazz musician. He can tinkle the keys, man. He is a great piano player. He was leading a jazz quartet or trio that we watched, and I didn't say anything. It was the day before the election. We kind of know him, Tecklenburg. And I was going to say, what do the polls say? But he didn't look. He must have known, you know, that they were looking good.
He knew that Cogswell was going to win.
Yeah, so the Democrat mayor is out. The Republican mayor is in the city of Charleston, which is not like the rest of South Carolina. But is that an omen? I don't know. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now show, our second quarter. We're going to see a lot of predictions between now and then. This is prediction season.
Yep.
We're in prediction season. And you know what? Bank of America, I wish I had this kind of latitude. I come up with one target price. They have five target prices.
They get different scenarios.
Yeah. Right? They're most... models target range between 4,400 to 5,350. Well, I would just say this. They got a pretty good chance of being right.
That's like a 25% range, right, between the two numbers?
No wonder I just dislike the big wirehouse firms. I've always taken a different tack. You can pretty much say at the end of the year, say, see, we were right. It came in at 4,644. We said it would be somewhere between 4,400 and 5,000. But they're saying that when you average it all out, it's 5,000. Their S&P target is 5,000. I don't think that's going to happen. But you know what? I don't know which of these reports from Bank of America. Keep it simple, please. I'm working on another project that would be associated with the app where, you know, all of the major stocks would have a one-page research report, very simplified, using human intelligence. How about that, Barry? HI. I believe in HI.
HI. You're going to start something.
You can use AI to pull in the data and whatnot. That's all going out there and pulling in the raw data. But it takes human intelligence to make sense of it. And I've read research reports. You know, back in the day, I wrote research reports. But, you know, I've seen 80-page research reports on one stock. Who's going to read that? That's ridiculous. I just want to know. I would rather see there's no reason you should own this stock, you know? Avoid this stock at all costs. Whatever. This is one of the best stocks in the entire market. And this is where it fits. It's just, you know, the stuff that they do is just really idiotic, in my opinion. They have five different target prices. Depending on what happens, well, okay. That'd be like the weatherman saying, it could rain tomorrow, it could be sunshine, we could have thunder showers, we could have high winds, or it could be just a beautiful day. On average, we think it's going to be a nice day tomorrow. NVIDIA ticks up as Wall Street heaps praise on and sees significant earnings power. Well, here's the problem. The stock is down 3.5% right now after this blowout quarter. Are we going to see the NVIDIA top in the NASDAQ? You know, to me, we've had a pretty good run in these big tech stocks, especially in the semiconductor stocks, even though AMD's is continuing its run today, although it's pulled back. But NVIDIA has now hit that $500 area a couple times and hasn't been able to get through it. Is all of this priced into NVIDIA? Now, yes, their earnings were unbelievable. I think their sales came in like triple, 300% up, 300%, and their revenues or their earnings were up like 600%. It was just an incredible. But I guess the market is saying, is this as good as it gets? Is this the peak? Well, the stock is certainly trading like it is, with and that's probably part of this big turnaround in the market here to losing a lot of its steam. I'll be running my new target price for NVIDIA, you know, after I see the numbers, but it's really all about the forecast. The numbers have been baked into the cake. The last 12 months baked into the cake. The next 6 months have probably been baked into the cake already. It's all about what comes after that and how much is that worth. So anyways, they came in with earnings of $4.02. They beat by 63 cents. Revenue of $18.1 billion. Beats by $2 billion. That's pretty big to beat the sales by $2 billion. That's just kind of unheard of. And you say, well, then why is the stock down? Well, you know, it's all about the expectations going forward. And apparently the guidance is not as...
Wasn't as flashy as they wanted.
Right? Yeah, I mean, they were really looking for flashy. They got flashy, but it wasn't flashy enough. It is the only conclusion I can come to here. So anyways, NVIDIA right now down 3.5%. Okay, how good are things with the weight loss drugs? Well, we have Lilly ramping up to build a $2.5 billion facility in Germany. And now we've got Novo Nordisk, which is going to ration Ozempic starter kits. Now, the starter kit is where you begin. You don't begin with the full dose. You start off with the weaker dose of the drug, and then you build it up over time. But the demand is so heavy for Novo Nordisk Ozempic that they have to ration. They have to ration it out, ration it out. $102.31 is where Novo Nordisk stands. And the demand for it remains extremely heavy. Okay, U.S. Jefferies is out with their quant portfolio. You know, look, I'm just going to say there's a lot of quant people out there that have invented things like the Best Stocks Now app. And I just look at the results of these quants. Jefferies quant portfolio has underperformed the S&P 500 by 2.9% since launch last year. That's not very good. And I look at the stocks that their quant system picked, and I say, you know what? I don't think that's a very good system. What can I say?
One for the longest time, you know, especially early on in the quant world, you know, folks were thinking that it was almost market manipulation. Well, if you're manipulating the market and you're underperforming it.
Yeah, there goes that argument. Right. But, you know, to have Cisco in there, you know, how do you come up? How does your quant system pick Coca-Cola and Cisco? And others like that, TJ Maxx? Motorola? Are you kidding me? That's just me. How come Lilly's not there? How come Novo Nordisk is not there? These are two of the biggest growth stocks of our time right now. They're not in the quant system. What is the quant missing? That's my 2 cents on their quant system. This is Jefferies, which is a lot bigger than Gunderson Capital.
Well, we know they're not missing pounds because they're not in in Lilly or Novo.
No. Tim Cook discusses Apple's very detailed CEO succession plan. But he did say he's not going anywhere anytime soon. He gives himself another 10 years. I haven't seen a lot of innovation under Tim Cook. I just see a rehashing of all of the ideas that came out of Steve Jobs and tweaking a little bit. but I haven't seen that much innovation. I'm sorry. Well, he's got a couple of protégés that are working under him. Maybe they'll be a little more innovative. We'll be right back. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Keit. NVIDIA, obviously a big story after the close of the market. Like I say, it's really become the most anticipated earnings report. NVIDIA has always been a good stock, but it was always linked to the gaming.
The video cards, right? I mean, for the longest time, yeah. It's just interesting because it's, you know, they're kind of like the last hurrah for earnings season now, the way that their calendar works, and so they end up being kind of the ones with the last word, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
To shape the rest of the market as we crank towards the next earnings season.
So. Yeah, and it, it got new life, and it got jet fuel underneath it when they came along with their AI chips that fuel ChatGPT and other artificial intelligence platforms. But like I say, it's not exploding to the upside here. Today, it is currently down 2.8%. It's trading like a wild thing, just all over the map right now.
At one point I checked, it was down about 4%, so it's gyrating.
And so what I do, you know, when a company reports earnings like that within a few days, usually you the dust settles, you have the new numbers out there. I guess the hardest part to predict is the 5-year growth rate. That's difficult. Another competitor come along? Will they saturate the world and nobody else needs AI chips? I don't know. So, anyways, I have to look at the charts also. You know, I don't necessarily like the reaction here to the stock's report after the close last night.
And it was a beat and raise. I mean, when you look at the numbers, this is what's funny when you're talking about, they didn't raise guidance enough. Their fourth quarter revenue, they expect it to be between 20 billion, you know, right at about 20 billion, plus or minus 2%. And the analyst estimates were 17.9 billion. Which means, you know, in reality, right, you raised the expectations by, a pretty 11%. And I guess that's not good enough, right?
No.
In this world.
Well, their sales tripled. Since this time last year, their sales tripled. They did $18 billion in sales versus six last year, and their earnings are up sixfold. From 58 cents to $4.02. Now, it's going to decelerate. Those numbers are going to decelerate. So in other words, if they come in at 20 billion, that's still going to be a huge comparison. But if you're going versus this quarter, that's only an 11% sequential increase, whereas we had a 60% sequential increase in this quarter. But anyways, their guidance blew past expectations, their sales blew past everything.
Yeah, and you know, NVIDIA may not be doing great this morning, but AMD is up over 3%. A lot of your other chip makers are actually getting a bump from the NVIDIA news.
They may see room for AMD to take away some of that market share from NVIDIA. So anyways, okay, so now let's look at some other companies. Earnings season not over yet. But I think about 95% of the companies have reported. Now, there's some important ones. Deere is definitely an industrial. It's a $100 billion company, and not a good report from Deere. Deere is down 6.3% today. I have no interest in owning Deere at this point in their lifetime, they've been good at stock. I think their best years was when China was booming back in 2005,
them and 2006,
Caterpillar,
right.
And everything that came out of the ground, rebar. I remember a company that made rebar was booming, and I remember when U.S. Steel was just one of the hottest stocks in the entire market. It just goes to show that markets change over time. The old buy and hold, through thick or thin, there's too many. The cycles are much shorter in the market these days.
When that equipment's expensive, and the equipment's expensive in a high interest rate environment, right? You're naturally going to have less tractors purchased. I mean, those things are not none of those things are cheap anymore,
no.
and they're only getting more expensive, and the financing costs for farmers and just industrial folks who build things, right? It's much more expensive to float that cost at the moment.
And China is a big market for Deere.
Yep.
And China is struggling from an economic, their economy is struggling right now. So my quant is not coming up with Deere at the current time, my quant system. I don't think you even need a quant system to figure that one out. Another company, you talk about Tim Cook not innovating much. That's just my opinion. I haven't seen the innovation that used to come from Jobs. Jobs
he's been
was
more
coming
of a caretaker.
Out.
You and I talk about this a lot. It's not that he's been a bad CEO. It's just he's really been more of a caretaker, and there really hasn't been any new innovation. I mean, they've been trying to build their own chips, and I even saw a couple of weeks ago that's delayed till around 2025 or something. So they've been trying to get rid of Qualcomm for a while on the chip front, and they can't do it.
I come from the school of you always have to keep innovating or you die. A good example of that, not always keeping up innovation, is Hewlett-Packard, which has gone nowhere. I mean, it's been mired in the high $20 area forever. And there's just nothing new other than magenta ink and big bottles now that last a lot longer than they used to. But, their reports, sales down 19%, earnings down 27%. This was a better report than they normally report. The stock's up 3.6%, but you got to ask the question, why would you even want to own? Who owns this stock? Who wants to own this stock? Somebody must own it. I see that the institutions own about 60% of the stocks. Somebody's got to own it. Let them have it. They can have it. Funds, mutual funds, institutions, 41% ownership in Hewlett-Packard, which just has not innovated or done anything in years, in decades, really. Nordstrom slips after mixed earnings. We've had kind of a mixed bag this week from the consumer. Best Buy blamed it on the consumer. And then you look at other retailers, and they're doing just fine. They say the consumer is still in good shape. So you gotta blame a bad quarter on somebody. Now Nordstrom's pretty much a dying dying company.
They've got a lot of cannibalization too between Nordstrom and Nordstrom Rack. So if you look at location wise, you find a Nordstrom. There's a Nordstrom rack pretty close, and which is going to have discounted clothes. And so when you do that, you're cannibalizing a certain amount of sales.
I remember when the Nordstrom family basically ran Seattle. They owned the basketball team. They owned just about everything there. And now who owns Seattle? Amazon owns Seattle. Nordstrom's move over. Nordstrom's is a small cap now. It's a $2.3 billion company. $2.3 billion company. Small cap stock. Hanging on to what they have. They still operate 368 high-end department stores. I used to love going to Nordstrom's. It was a classy joint, but it's just a shell of what it used to be because of the demographic, the changes in the habits of consumers, and that beast named Amazon. Jack in the Box falls after high labor costs. You know what? I don't know how these fast food, with the way labor has gone and, California passing some of the laws they have on minimum wages for fast food up around $20 per hour. I had a big office downtown San Diego in a high rise, and when they raised the minimum wage to $15 for downtown, this was several years ago, the next day Wendy's shuttered, closed, no more Wendy's. Well, it's a tough, tough road for fast food. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Let's just get a beat on where the market is at the current time here. We've got the Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 139. Okay, we'll take that. The NASDAQ right now is up 86. Okay, so now, let's go into and dive underneath the water here and see what we can see. Let's go to the S&P 500 first. It's always a really good indicator.
Crude oil is getting hit pretty hard, too. Wow.
Well, a four-day pause in their meeting.
Yeah.
And no reason given. So I would just have to say that they probably took a poll of the various members before the meeting and find that they have a lot of disagreement, and maybe they got to get the parties together before they embarrass themselves with the meeting. That would be my only guess.
And a pretty big increase, too, in crude inventories, increased by 8.7 million barrels for this week, which is pretty significant. I think last week it was 3.6 million. So supply is building up, it looks like, versus the demand side of that equation.
And most of the big analysts out there are saying oil's going to get back into the 90s. That's definitely the consensus estimate.
Right, yeah.
But the consensus is not always right.
Well, they're going to take an OPEC meeting. They got to meet for that price to get there, because they're going to have to meet and cut production.
So. Yeah. The NASDAQ is pretty blah. I'm looking at the NASDAQ here. The leader in the NASDAQ, Trip.com, Baidu, American Airlines. And then we get to a real stock here, AMD. And AMD is obviously doing well off the news that came out of NVIDIA. AMD seems to be the winner. We own both of them, so it worked out well. AMD is up 2.8%. AMD's gone on a heck of a run here. It got down to 93 in late October.
We had it
3 weeks ago.
You had it on the watch list. Remember, it was close to breaking your bit of a line in the sand where it could have gone either way at that point. Remember when they were about to report, and it was this report will determine if which way they go, and it's gone up. So
I have a note on my chart that says sell if it breaks this level. That was back in the low 90s, right? If it would have broke 90, and now it's 123. So it's gone up 33% in the last since their report 3 or 4 weeks ago. Then you got it's a ho hum day for the Nasdaq. Then you got eBay. You got a lot of stocks that have been heavily shorted. Align Technology. Then you got a real one, Amazon, which is up 2% today in front of Black Friday. Two more days until Black Friday. And then you've got Illumina, heavily shorted stock, PayPal, heavily shorted stock, Lam Research, which is also, man, I'm happy with my Lam, LRCX. But a lot of these stocks, you got to be careful. They're hitting, they've gone a long ways in a short period of time, and they're starting to hit resistance levels. Okay.
Take a look at Oscar. Yeah, Oscar's a great short where, you know, it's up almost 4% today. But if you look at that chart, it's getting close to that, that kind of $9-ish level, $9.5, where, if they could bust through that, then it's got, it should have even more ways to go. So.
Well, I can just say that the CEO that came over from Aetna, he's doing his job. Look at the last four quarters. Sales up 101%, 51%, 50%, 47%. The stock has almost doubled from its low in late October, early November. Now, we own that in our Ultra Growth portfolio.
Ultra Growth as well.
And Emerging Growth portfolio. That's how well we liked it. You know, I really believe in management. When you have proven people. Now, this guy in Argentina, I don't know if he's had a history of turning things around. He's taking on a country and going to try to turn around a country, this guy they elected. I don't know what his track record is.
Well, they beat Brazil 1-0 in a World Cup qualifier yesterday, he's doing something right.
Everything's coming up roses for Argentina. It's going to be interesting to watch this massive experiment where he's going to take a chainsaw, which many people in America would love to see the federal government cut in half. Right? I mean, cut in half. That's what they'd like to see. And that's what he's going to do. Down in even more than that, we'll see what happens. Okay, and let's just look under the surface here. Yeah, I can't get too excited about the NASDAQ today. On the downside, you've got not much. NVIDIA and Tesla. Two high-priced, high PE stocks. NVIDIA's down 3.5% and Tesla's down 3.4% today. Now, those two aren't linked at all, but those are the two losers in the NASDAQ today. And if you go to the S&P 500, Deere down 6%, Autodesk, which is another bellwether. I mean, architects, engineers use Autodesk. It's down 5% today. Nordstrom's down 3.2%. The oil stock's not doing well. Caterpillar down 2%. On the upside on the S&P 500, Kohl's, which is a heavily shorted stock, Hewlett-Packard, which I'm sure is heavily shorted, American Airlines, another one, United Airlines, another one. You know why they're up? Because oil's dropping. That's why they're up. It's all about jet fuel. All right, well, I will be working on Friday. I will be doing a show on Friday. I will be working on the newsletter Friday and Saturday morning. It will be going out. I'm going to give 7 different target prices for the S&P 500. Barry, spin the wheel, and wherever it lands, you're going to be right, you know? No, I give out one target price is based on earnings and a multiple. And, no, I can't paint in all these scenarios. You know, scenarios happen, when they start to happen, and you got to get out in front of them. You can't cover your bases with 7 different target prices. Ridiculous.
Yeah, what is that, the old Mike Tyson saying, everybody's got a plan until you get punched in the face?
And you're on the ropes, right? And then the whole plan changes. You have to be active. You have to be vigilant. You have to be really watching for any kind of, and that's what the Best Stocks Now app does for me is it's the Geiger counter that measures even the slightest movement in the earth. The earth starts to quake, or when a tech sector starts to quake. Okay, to get 2 free weeks of the newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. Gunderson, let it be your guide in 2024. We don't know what's going to hit us in 2024. And set up an appointment with us. Make a New Year's resolution or a Christmas or a Thanksgiving resolution. Call us at 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.